today on Real Radio.
But the Bible teaches that God doesn't always heal. Think about this for a moment. If God gave the gift of healing, and it was not brought under the governing of His perfect will, of His execution, and it was just once given, it's for all people, listen carefully to this, there would be no one suffering on earth, because what would we go do? Wouldn't we go down in the car right now, down to Chalk's Hospital, Children's Hospital of Orange County, and wouldn't we raise up every little child that's in that hospital right now?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
The gift of healing is in effect today, and we're going to look at some of the things about that. We're going to look at the context that healing is manifested in. Where? Why? How does God heal? Why doesn't God always heal? Why isn't there just continuous healing done if God has given that gift? Tonight, we are still in that region of our five-point investigation into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to where we are at the operation of the gifts and the way that they're used among the body of Christ. We need to understand and to realize that the gifts are to be received by us, given by the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches undoubtedly, clearly, blatantly, that every believer has at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. Also, the gifts are to be enjoyed in that we are to be excited about using them. We are actually blessed by using them. And I personally believe that a Christian's walk, listen, is hindered until they find out what that gift is and they begin to exercise it. Why do I believe that so strongly? Because the Christian was created to serve. The Christian finds true meaning and purpose in service and in servitude one toward another. It's the way God has made us. This morning I woke up and looked out the window. I don't know about you, but I still can get up very quick. My alarm goes off and my feet are on the ground before I realize I'm awake. It just happens. I should have been a fireman or something. I don't know. But I've noticed now, as I get up out of bed, I'll still get out of bed, but I don't quite wake up until maybe like the second or third cup of coffee. This morning I went out and looked out the window, and right on the umbrella on the patio was a robin, a huge red-breasted robin. For some reason, we have a bunch of them in our yard. They're big birds. They gather the worms and do their robin thing, and they're beautiful. And yet I walked out there, and I'm looking, and I'm focusing, and I'm trying to zoom in on this bird. And finally, I realized that there was this beautiful robin there. And that robin went down onto the ground and did the things that robins do. And have you ever watched one? They're pretty amazing. Now, they'll run in the grass, and then they'll pause, and they'll tilt their head. And it's almost as though they're listening. In fact, for many years, we all believe that they are listening to the activity of worms, because whatever worms do down there is, hammers or something. I don't know what's going on down there, but the robin will bend its head and look like it's listening, and then dive their beak in and pull out a worm. But scientists tell us that they can't hear at all. I don't know. How do they know, you know? It looks like it's listening to me. But it does its robin thing so naturally, and it enjoys it. It does its robin thing, and it has a good time doing it. When I let my dog outside like I did this morning, and he scared away the robin, he didn't intend to do that. What he intended to do was his doggy thing. And he went out there with such natural ability. And he did his doggy deal and ran around the yard. Now, we have a very little dog, and we have a fairly decent-sized backyard. So when he's out there, it looks like, you know, a buffalo out in Yellowstone. I mean, he's out there running around, and it could be like miles for him. But he's out there, and it's his yard, and he's doing his dog thing, and he'll bark and, you know, act like he's a big dog, and then come on back in the house very naturally. And we need to understand something, that when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in use, like the dog, like the robin, like the Christian, empowered by God, there's a naturalness, if I can use that maybe word, there's a casualness to the use of the gifts. There's never a hype. There's never a glory that draws attention to self. It's just a natural outflowing. Even though it's a supernatural gift, God in his miraculous works has engineered the use of the gifts to flow from us naturally. Some of you in here have the gift of encouragement, and it flows out of you, and I don't think you're yet convinced of the fact that you have that gift. And yet others around you like being around you because you have a tendency to lift people up. And you may not even be aware of your gift. Listen, you're just like that robin, exercising a gift that God has implanted into that believer. And the gift of healing is exactly the same way in the operation of like all the rest of the gifts, naturally, but yet supernatural. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he mentions here that there's the gift or gifts of healing. And of course, it's by the Holy Spirit. And to think that tonight housed within you is at least one gift of the Holy Spirit's an exciting thing to meditate on. This gift is very, very sensitive in the hearing of people. I think the gift of healing has probably suffered more black eyes and beatings than any other gift. Maybe the gift of tongues comes close. But the gift of healing has really gotten the brunt of a lot of, I think, Christian neglect because of the abuse that we see out there in the world. But the fact is that the gift of the Holy Spirit in the way of healing, even though it's been abused and misrepresented, it is in fact a viable gift given by God. So in your note-taking tonight, you ought to jot this down, that first of all, in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said himself that signs will follow those who believe. Signs will follow. Note that he didn't say, and believers will follow the signs. Why? This is very critical. Why didn't he say, believers ought to go follow the signs? Because in the day and age in which you and I live, there will soon be coming on the scene, very soon, false prophets and false Christ, which will perform great signs and wonders to the point that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. So we are not to follow signs, but the signs are to follow us. Wherever we go, signs and wonders should follow where we've been. And we'll see how that works out tonight. We serve, by the way, an awesome and holy and all-powerful, transcendent God. That is, God is great. He is removed from the realm of our limitations. He's not subject to them. And so in your note-taking, jot this down as the first point to our study, is that the Lord desires to heal. God desires to heal. He loves that. We're going to talk about this tonight. In fact, we're going to give an opportunity. Maybe you're here tonight with an ailment, physical or emotional or spiritual. We're going to dedicate some time tonight for you to be healed, should the Lord will that. We're going to have the time for you to be prayed for tonight because we want to put into practice what this is teaching. But we serve a transcendent God who, number one, desires to heal. He likes it. That is, our transcendent God is beyond our limitations. I want to state a few facts that I think we sometimes forget. He is the Lord God. Do you understand that? He's not just God. He is Lord God. He is the one and only creator, yes, but he's the governor and king over all things. He's transcendent. That is, he sits upon, as the Psalms and Job puts it, on the sphere of the globe. He's not subject to the globe. He's above the globe, above the world. He's great over all things. And I think that we so often fail to believe that. We think that God is somehow a super, duper, great, glorified man. And he's not. He is not the God or gods of Mormonism, glorified men, men who've become gods, men who have attained godhood and occupy a planet of 200 wives. No. The Bible speaks about our God being the one and only transcendent God who is God and not a human at all. And so we need to realize that he alone possesses absolute control over all things. He does. That he is the rightful, authoritative sovereign over all. And you say, Jack, what are you doing? We already know this stuff. Well, I want to remind you. It's very important. Why? Because Jesus announces the fact of his desire to heal and God's absolute power and authority. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 24, Jesus says this. It says there, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up and read, and as it was handed to him the prophet Isaiah, when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now he's turned now to what we would call Isaiah chapter 61. Now, Jesus' scroll of the Old Testament didn't have chapter 61 written on the top at all. Had no scripture chapter references at all. So he went to the place where he found this passage, and here's what he read. And this is his first public message as he has been ordained into the public ministry. Jesus says this, quoting, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That's his mission. That is not poor in moneyless, that is poor in spirit, those who would receive and listen. Number two, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Why? The rabbis, the teachers of the day, sat down to teach. I like that idea. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" They were absolutely marveling at his message, but they also needed to marvel at the messenger. In the area of Nazareth, Jesus had grown up all of his life. And the philosophy of Jesus Christ and his ministry was to bring what is referred to here in Luke chapter 4 or Isaiah 61, that he was to preach the gospel to the poor, he was to heal the brokenhearted, claim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what Jesus wants. That's his purpose. That's his heart to do. That's his mission from the Father. And in that is healing. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Nor is there salvation in any other name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved." That's the name of Jesus Christ. He's all sovereign. And yet, what's his mission? To heal, to bless, to proclaim the word of God. That's his mission. That was his purpose for coming. The Lord has a desire to heal. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, concerning his awesome sovereignty, in 1 Chronicles 16:29, the Bible says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name." By the way, that's a commandment. "Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established, and it shall not be moved." verse 31. He says, let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Our awesome sovereign God. And then finally in Psalm 97:1, the Bible says, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, and let the multitude of the isles be glad. Our God has a desire, though he is all sovereign and all holy, and listen, he's accountable to no one, yet our God's nature and characteristic is to heal. He loves to heal. It's his heart's desire. But why would God heal at all? Why would God want to heal? There's one simple answer to that question, and it's because he loves to do it. He loves to heal. Turn in your Bibles right now to Luke chapter 13, if you would. Luke 13:11 specifically. The Lord desires to heal. Luke 13:11. The scripture says, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could not in no way raise up herself. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he just heals her sovereignly. There's no plea on her part. There's no cry. He sees her and he's moved with compassion, no doubt about it, though it's not mentioned. He sees this precious woman bent over, and something happens to him on the inside. And he says, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, technically, he would have laid his hands on her, what we would say today, her hunchback. Physicians of the day did that. And Jesus was known as the great physician. He would often do those types of things. To where, remember the man who had the impediment of his speech? He couldn't speak. What did Jesus do? Grabbed his tongue. I mean, he literally grabbed it. And remember the man that couldn't see? Jesus picked up soil, spit, made a putty, and put it on his eyes. That's how the pagan physicians worked in those days. Jesus, of course, wasn't practicing anything pagan. He was conveying to the culture at the time, you're going to be healed momentarily. I'm going to be touching you. He would have laid his hand on her back, and then he would have said, woman, be loosed of your infirmity. But the ruler of the synagogue, verse 14, answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Well, that's true, but God was at work. So, therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, he's so subtle and gentle. Hypocrites. does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Think of it. For 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. He loves to heal. It's the way that he is. And he gladly rebuked those who try to put that down. Very important that we understand tonight that God's desire is to heal. And I know right now in the back of your mind, there's that question saying, well, then why doesn't he heal me? Or why doesn't he heal my mom? Or why doesn't he heal my sister? Or whatever. Listen, we're coming to that. But my point tonight in this particular subject here is that he is sovereign. The Bible tells us, Lord speaking, shall I not do what I please? God has that right. For some reason, we think that God owes us a healing, don't we? It's like, I'm your child. I mean, don't you? Hey, come on. No. He doesn't owe us anything. It's out of his abundant mercies that he bestows upon us anything good. It's his abundant grace that he blesses us. And all of us probably battle some sort of ailment in one way, shape, or form. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. James talks about that in chapter 5. We'll come to it later. But all of us suffer. Could be deep emotional stress. The Lord has the desire to heal. And when He doesn't heal, He's got an absolute, perfect will and plan for not healing. And I pray that in our concepts would break once and for all the idea that somehow we have to earn it, or somehow He doesn't love us if He doesn't touch us. That's not true at all. So understand in your notes tonight that you're taking that He desires to heal. It's His nature. He loves to do it. Number two, to heal or not to heal. It's the Lord's right. To heal or not to heal. That's God's sovereign choice. Does God always heal? The question to that naturally arises in our hearts. The answer to that is no. God does not always heal. You'll hear different things on the radio, on TV, but the Bible teaches that God doesn't always heal. Think about this for a moment. If God gave the gift of healing, and it was not brought under the governing of His perfect will, of His execution, and it was just once given, it's for all people, listen carefully to this, there would be no one suffering on earth, because what would we go do? Wouldn't we go down in the car right now, down to Chalk's Hospital, Children's Hospital of Orange County, and wouldn't we raise up every little child that's in that hospital right now? Wouldn't we go down to Pomona Valley Hospital here and just get everybody out of it? Wouldn't we empty every hospital room and bed in the... Of course we would. God gives the gift of healing, but He doesn't always issue a healing. Did Jesus heal everyone He came in contact with? The answer to that is absolutely not. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why. I have to lean on the fact that He's sovereign. Why have I been going through what I've been going through? I don't know why. But are you a Christian? Yes. Is God on the throne? Yes. Then God has given us the default verse, the default chapter for that matter, and that's Romans chapter 8, verses 26 on to the end of the chapter. All things work together for good to those who are called according to His purposes. To the Christian, not to the world, but to the Christian.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. This is an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various gifts believers have received and exercise. This entire series is now available to you on MP3 CD. That includes portions we haven't yet heard here on Real Radio. Pastor Jack's United in the Gifts on MP3 CD. And we're also including R.A. Torrey's classic book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, these tools combined are valuable and insightful and are likely to answer every question you have on the topic of the Trinity's third person and His work. Of course, there's more than one way to get in touch. RealRadioactive.org, RealRadioactive.org, or you can call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And finally, our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.